just wonderful to have and just to know that we've got a body that prays and that we can lift people up and encourage people. I know it's a blessing to me each time that I come up here just to know that I've got people praying for me and encouraging me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, I do pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to our church. And Lord, I do pray for this time of fellowship that you would draw us together as the body of Christ, that your love would be there. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also want to thank Gregory, and just it always amazes me how beautifully the songs match. Or what the Lord is doing. All right. The greatest gift too. If you were here on December 29th, this is, well, I guess you might call it a sequel. I thought about it one time, putting all this into one, but it was certainly two messages. And the Lord, it's amazing how much the Lord will show you. It wouldn't have been ready the 29th. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or some people maybe learned it, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. It comes from the Lord's Prayer, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. But the greatest gift too. If you remember, the title of my sermon on the 29th was The Greatest Gift. And it is a sequel, but two means also. And the Lord, we are going to review a little bit, just because that's what the Lord wants from the message on the 29th. Because Christmas is the sending of Jesus, is the greatest gift we have ever received and that the world has ever received. And on the 29th, I called it the Christmas story from the Gospel of John, but Jesus had to come. But he came first and foremost because the relationship with God and man, or humanity, was broken. But what was also broken, and if we look around in our world, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, really doesn't make any difference. If anybody says that our world is whole and healthy, I'd say take a second look. Because there's a lot of hurts in the world. The relationships between people are also very broken. And the purpose for Jesus coming was to restore that relationship also. Because he wants us as a humanity to be whole. Now, well, Lord brought me some questions that I need to look at here too. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So I need to ask myself, do I want God to forgive me the way I forgive others? I mean, do I want God to forgive me like I forgive others? You know, maybe next year, maybe, you know, you hurt me. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to have a relationship with you anymore. I mean, just think what that'd be like if God felt that way. But the neat thing is, or would I like God to help me forgive others as he forgives me? Now, I put that word help in there just simply because I need help in that area. And I really don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't need that help. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us during this time. This is the church era, they call it. It's the time of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come, because it was necessary. You start with the Father and the creation as the active player, although all three were present. Salvation comes through the Son, and actually, Jesus actually became a human so that we could have a relationship with him. Because there's no way we could be with the Father without dying. And now the time the Holy Spirit is drawing us, transforming us, changing us. When God forgives, he doesn't pardon us. He redeems us. Now, it's interesting because pardon's been in the news quite a bit, but pretty much every president since George Washington, and George Washington may not have, I don't remember for sure, has pardoned people before the end of their career. And so it's not unusual. Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon. And he may have pardoned others too. I didn't look all those up. I just know that from history because that was just shortly after I graduated from high school, and I was just being thankful that since my draft number was 6, that they ended the draft 30 days before I would have had to leave. Now, actually, it probably would have done me some good if I would have had some basic training. But what we need to do here is look at, and what I want to right now is to look at forgiveness, and especially the relationship between others, because it's an important topic. Now, one question we can also ask at this point is, do I forgive or pardon others? When God forgives us, he doesn't pardon us. He redeems us. He expects us to change, to be transformed into something new. Actually, the eventual thing is for us actually to be holy. Just like this last song. Now, we have no comprehension of what holiness really means. I don't think there's a single person in the world that knows what holiness means, because other than possibly Moses or Elijah or Enoch that were actually able to be in God's presence. But I can say things that I might believe, but it's certainly a human perspective. But just, if I look at pardoning versus forgiveness, when pardoned, the debt, pain, and guilt remain. Only the legal consequences are removed. Someone might get a get out of jail free card, but it doesn't change their circumstances or their guilt. Forgiveness, God's way, or by faith, we believe the price for all sin was paid in full when Christ's voluntary suffering and death, we were redeemed, making the healing of the pain and guilt possible. Now, I say possible because I'm talking about right now in this world. Because one of the things I don't want to give the impression of, when we're hurt by someone, that pain doesn't go right away, even if we forgive them, even if we very sincerely, and the guilt for that person isn't just released. If I know that I've done and hurt someone very badly, or have done things that are wrong, that guilt doesn't just leave just because God forgives me. It's something we have to deal with in our lives. But the nice thing is we have God right there to do that. When we're pardoned, there's no expectation of change in a person's life. When a president pardons someone, they don't say, now go and sin no more, like Jesus did sometimes. Just simply pardon them. They come out of jail. And there's advantages and disadvantages to that, but that's just, I mean, that's one of the differences between pardoning and forgiveness. And forgiveness, to me, is something that God allows us to do, and without God, it's extremely difficult to do it. Okay. Now, if you go on to the next slide, again, I just want a reminder. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, I just want to emphasize with this, Jesus came because God desires to have a holy, God-honoring relationship with humanity. We don't know exactly what the relationship was with Adam and Eve. But at that point, Adam and Eve had not sinned, and so we assume that they had a good relationship, and it was a holy relationship. It's going to be interesting, because God's ways are higher than our ways, that what will that relation be like? Because it can't be just exactly the same as it was for Adam and Eve when we meet him in heaven. But there's a beautiful relationship we know that we're going to have. But we will still know that at one point in time we had sinned. And I will review a few verses that I have there just to bring some of those concepts back. But we'll move right through these. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now, there's a lot in this verse. I could do a whole sermon from this, most likely, but life is in Christ. Light is in Christ. There's a lot of darkness in the world. And we are called to be salt and light, and the only way we can be light is if Christ is with us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the Lord and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Light is good. Darkness is difficult. It's nice that we're going to be able to send some light around the world with this little project. Also, when it talks about the Word and light, it's also referring to Jesus. Jesus was the Word that was spoken that brought about creation to begin with. Again, the Trinity is one of those interesting things that we won't know that much, we won't fully understand for a long time. The fall of man. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And because I was naked and hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And just a reminder that the hiding is the first evidence of our separation from God, a condition that we are not able to fix. We ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that should be something that we consider quite often when we think about knowledge and the things that we, how much we sometimes worship it. Because it does have two sides, just like a coin. But God has a solution. His ways are higher than our ways. And we can trust that statement. We we don't have to know his ways. He will bring us to a new place. I'm not going to go. Then Jesus answered, this is going to talking about Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit, and you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. We must believe. Now, one of the reasons I left this here is because it's very important. Unforgiveness does not send you to hell. Now, if you don't believe that your sins are already paid for, you're not going to get to heaven. It's a belief. It's that trusting in God and what he's done that makes the difference. People can die in unforgiveness. People can live in unforgiveness. At least that's the way I see it. It's not a healthy way to live, and God wants us to live healthily. But it's not believing that the thing that we need is to believe. When we are born again, we accept by faith that we are not only forgiven, but believe that we will be changed, transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. By faith, we are also able to forgive others more completely, since we have been forgiven a debt that we could never pay. And so what I want to encourage us, by forgiving others, we are making it easier for the Holy Spirit to work in us and change us into being better witnesses so that more people can see that there truly is life in Christ. And we can exemplify that life. Going back to Genesis. Then man said, "The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Not only was our relationship with God destroyed, but our relationship, the relationship between men and women, and our relationship with other people was damaged severely in the fall. And it shows it right here. And we have a very powerful enemy, a liar, deceiver, whose goal is to keep us separated from God. The blame game continues, and the blame game is always deceptive. We need to own up to our own sinfulness. And that's something we're going to have to do throughout our lives. Now, Continuing on in Exodus 19, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." We're now at Mount Sinai. God's desire to reestablish relationship with humanity is expressed through the making of covenants with the children of Israel. Now, he had covenants before the people became Israel, because that was Jacob. There was a covenant with Noah. There was a covenant with Abraham. He made several covenants throughout this time, but his covenant is something that he has kept, man has not. We have never, whether we were the Israelites or the church, we have never been faithful in the covenants we've made with God. But his desire is that we join him as a holy people. And it applies to us because we're grafted in with Christ and then moving out into the Gentiles. In Leviticus, you shall not make yourselves abominable, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Therefore you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now again, this concept of holiness is a difficult thing. It is related to forgiveness. Because if we're not forgiven, there's no way we can be there. We have to accept what Jesus has done for us. We needed to be forgiven, not just Adam and Eve. But I want to show this from the Old Testament because it's important that God's expected holiness. Hear, O Israel, this is from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, this is from Leviticus 19, and if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, I just want to point out here that the Old Testament and the New are in agreement. The Lord's desire is for all people. And he wants us as his people to be treating other people right. He expressed concern for our relationship with him and with the rest of humanity, even in the Old Testament. Matthew 22, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, Jesus is in complete agreement with the Old Testament, and I just want to emphasize that. Jesus also expressed concern for our relationship with him and with the rest of humanity. Do you love yourself? I mean, it's an extremely important question. I know in my life there's times when I didn't like myself very much because I didn't like some of the things that I'd done, or some of the situations I found myself in. And even how I got to some of those places. Have you forgiven yourself and those who influence or have influence in your life? We're going to have a difficult time loving others if we don't love ourselves? Take a good look at your life. Because there are problems in your life, and take it to the Lord. That's why our relationship with the Lord is primary. It's the most important thing. Without that relationship with Jesus Christ and having His Holy Spirit with us, there is no way we're going to change to the point where we can really be there for other people. And that's been shown throughout history. Civilizations that do not have God, or in times, it doesn't matter if it's the church or the United States. And the United States has a very good Christian heritage. Christian nationalism is just something that's been made up in the last couple decades. But the heritage is there. It's amazing the heritage that India has and China. I mean, people don't realize that India in the first century AD was evangelized by Thomas. And if you remember the Benjamins, the paradox that we had 20 years ago in this church that are now in Dallas, Texas, they were doctors here, they came from India. And they had a beautiful faith in God. And they traced their faith all the way back to the Apostle Thomas. It's interesting. But look at ourselves. Now, last time I looked at the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, I'm just doing excerpts from it. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set out for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. Rebellion, disobedience, selfishness is what separates ourselves from God, from the Father, also from ourselves. Later on in this parable, but the father said to his servants, quick, get the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, what was going on? The brother came and replied, and your father was killed, has killed the fat, and his brother came, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Be careful of jealousy and envy. It can destroy your relationship with your brothers and sisters. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because your brother, this brother of yours, was dead and is alive. He was lost and was found. It is possible to have a relationship with the Father without good relationships with our brother, but that is not God's desire. There is no one indication in this parable, and no one can make that claim, that the older brother lost his salvation. That's not necessarily the story of the parable, and you have to be careful with parables, but there is a broken relationship between the brothers. And we have to be careful that we don't have that broken relationship, because it can affect our relationship with the Father. But again, we're saved by belief. Matthew 18. When Peter came to Jesus and asked the Lord, I do like that the word speaks for itself. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, some translations will say 70 times seven, which would be 490. So which is it, 77 times or 490? If you're counting how many times you need to forgive someone, stop. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began this settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now see, this is a hard thing. And I struggled going through this. How do we interpret this parable? This is quite the parable. But I believe, and most people that I went on and listened to or read what they had to say agree with me. The first person, if this indicated, if his being forgiven that debt was his salvation, he didn't lose it. But if our life doesn't reflect the grace that God has given us, the consequences of sin are still there. And sometimes there's reasons why we have to live through the consequences of our sin. And sometimes God's grace covers it. And I can't necessarily say which is which and why that happens in every case, but this indicates that a person that's saved, we can't look at somebody and say, that guy's house didn't burn in Los Angeles. He must be a Christian. And his neighbor down the street lost everything. Our material well-being on this planet right now does not indicate whether we're saved or not saved. But if we're willing to forgive as we've been forgiven, is something that the Holy Spirit does in us. If we can truly, and it may not, it's not an instantaneous thing, and it doesn't mean that you're not always going to go back into that relationship that you had with that person before you were hurt. But if you can, in your heart, forgive that person, then the light is going to shine greater in your life. You're going to be saltier in the world around you. You may lose your life. I mean, that's something that's happening to Christians every day. Some of the reports say that there have been more Christians died of persecution in the last 5 years than the 2,000 years before it. There's more people in the world right now, but that's the way God wants it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this is from Romans, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you. Be open to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. Be willing to forgive other people. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being one, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, with this, I want to pray, especially for this body, but also for the body of Christ throughout our nation, our state, our nation, our world, that in this time, that we would recognize that we are all part of one body, and we need to strengthen and support and encourage each other. If you have something against someone, especially if they're in the body of Christ, but that doesn't matter, for your own health and well-being, forgive them. Now, you may not, and it may not even be healthy to discuss. The fact is, if you go to someone and say, I forgive you for what you did, a lot of people aren't going to recognize the hurt that they did to you. So this is something you can take to God, and if you can sincerely forgive someone that's hurt you, there may be a time when you can restore that relationship, but that isn't necessarily the goal. The goal is for us to have a healthy relationship with the Father, with God, and a healthy relationship with those around us. And we have to be healthy. We can't have those hurts in our hearts, obstructing our witness, making our witness less than it should be. So, Lord, I pray for this body and for the body around, that especially, Lord, in this week to come, transitions are always difficult, but Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in the things happening in the world. Lord, we're getting a new president tomorrow. There's a ceasefire in the Holy Land. And Lord, both of those are full of trouble or potential trouble. The enemy would like to use both of them in ways that are not healthy for the world or for the people of the world. But Lord, you have our best interests in mind. Your ways are higher than our ways. So Lord, as you taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now notice the first thing is our relationship with the Father. as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, I also ask that you would bless this time of fellowship and food, that you would truly bless this body.